welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 10 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host for the program. Hopefully, everyone had a great week, and unfortunately, we're still all dealing with this coronavirus, and some of us have been shut in and stay at home and kind of social distancing and staying away from people, but all is good in the world of collecting. We're using this nice diversion because we don't have any sports. We can't go to the movies. We can't go out to eat. There's a lot of things we can't do, but we can still collect. We can still send out TTM requests and still getting our mail. So hopefully everyone is hunkering down, organizing their cards, spending some time with their family, and let's get right onto the program. This week, we have a fun, interesting interview with Bruce Landon. You might not recognize the name, but Bruce was a goalie for the New England Whalers back in the WHA days, and he was a instrumental person in keeping hockey in Springfield, Massachusetts, minor league hockey in Springfield, Massachusetts. He was a general manager. He was an owner. He was did it all for hockey in Springfield. And he wrote a book titled The Puck Stops Here. So we talk to Bruce about his days in the WHA and talk about his new book. So hopefully you enjoy the interview forthcoming. So I just want to, if anyone has any feedback for the program, this program, or any other program, please send me email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. My email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com if you're interested in being a guest or just want to have some feedback on this show or any other show or anyone that you'd like to see this interview. Just send me a quick email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. As you know, podcasts can be found everywhere. Podcasts are situated nowadays. We're on Spotify, we're on Podbean, we're on Google Listen, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we are on TuneIn. If you have an Alexa device, all you have to do is say, "Alexa, play TTM Cast Podcast," and you can hear this episode and all other episodes of the TTM Cast. Please spread the word to your friends. Let them know about our podcasts. Let people know in the collecting community, in the autograph collecting community, in the TTM world. We talk TTM. We talk collecting. It's a fun cast. If you're a podcast, if this is your first time listening, well, welcome, and hopefully you enjoy. We also have a forum on Sports Card Forum. If you want to talk about the podcast, you can go to Sports Card Forum and click on our TTM Cast podcast forum, and you can drop a note there as well. So we are all over the internet, and hopefully you are not too crazy right now hanging around the house or being restricted to what you're doing. This will pass. Hopefully we have a lot of things we're looking forward to. But let's get right into Baker's Dozen, our first segment, Baker's Dozen, which is kind of a brain dump of what's been going on in the hobby and in the world as a whole. And we'll obviously start with the corona virus lock-in. I don't know if everyone's seen, but PSA has been closed. Their offices, both in New Jersey and in California, are closed until further notice. So there will be obviously a delay in getting anything back from PSA. So be patient on that. If you're missing sports, there's all sorts of sports on the different sports networks. MLB is running vintage games. They had the 1976 Mark Fidrich game versus the New York Yankees was on the other day. They had the 1978 Red Sox versus New York Yankees playoff game, the infamous or famous Bucky Dent game, whichever side you're inclined to root for. So it was a tough one for the Red Sox fans, but it was still fun to watch these vintage games. The NHL is running old Stanley Cup playoff games. I saw one with the Minnesota North Stars and I believe it was the New York Islanders, and then there was one with the Islanders, and I think it was the Oilers, the Edmonton Oilers. I watched a little of that one. The NFL Network is running all sorts of games. ESPN, I believe, is doing Brady playoff game recap stuff. So there's all sorts of vintage games out there, and some of the other networks are running college NCAA games. So there's all sorts of old vintage games that you can go enjoy. Hopefully, satisfy some of your sports, Jones. So hopefully you're enjoying that. A couple other things. I bought a hobby box, Topps Heritage 2020 hobby box, this weekend to pass the time, and I have to say I was a little disappointed. I've been having much better luck with the retail boxes, and I think I'm gonna stick to the retail blaster boxes. I got a Christian Yelich relic card and a Mookie Betts baseball moments card, but not a lot of cool stuff. I got a bunch of high number cards, but nothing to write home about. I was kind of disappointed in the hobby box for that amount of money. For $20, I think you get a better buy with the retail boxes. I'm picking up a retail box at both Target and at Walmart, and those seem to have better cards, better inserts, better chance at getting autographs and stuff. I was really a little disappointed with the hobby box, but so I think I'm going to be sticking to the regular blaster boxes from now on. Our next show will be next Sunday, March 29th. I've got an interview that I recorded the other day, so hopefully you'll enjoy that. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag of who the guest is, but it was another fun interview. So I guess that's it. The last thing I forgot is the most important thing for us Patriots fans, I guess, is Tom Brady has left the team, left a free agent. He is signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I thought I'd give my two cents on the whole deal. If I was the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft, I don't think I would have signed Brady for $60 million that he was looking for 2 years. I think his better days are way behind him. He will do okay with Tampa Bay in that they have pretty good skill players at the wide receiver and tight end. Their line leaves something to be desired, but he'll do okay. But the Patriots don't have the skill players right now in at wide receiver or tight end. I think they have a lot more holes to fill, and Belichick is always building a team through the middle class free agents and middle class type players, and usually does pretty good at the draft. They got a lot of draft picks this year, so there might be a little downturn for the Patriots, but I think it was a win-win for both the Brady and the Patriots. The Patriots will go out and find a quarterback, and Brady will do fine maybe for a year or half a year with Tampa Bay, but he is certainly on the tail end of his career, and with salary cap and in football, you can't pay for past performances, and you really have to look forward to what these guys are going to do for you today and tomorrow, and I don't think Brady has it in him anymore. So we will thank Tom Brady for everything he's done for the city, for Boston area, for the New England Patriots, for football. He has been nothing but a joy to watch his entire time here, but it's time to move on, I guess. So we will miss Tom Brady, but it's still nice to see that he'll be still playing in the league. And now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. Our Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who had passed away after I had, prior to me sending him a TTM request, and I was really embarrassed by sending a TTM request to someone who passed away. In past episodes, you probably heard me speaking with Vern Rapp's daughter, Nancy, and explaining everything about why we have a Vern Rapp Minute, but this is dedicated to this segment is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp. So as a service to my fellow collectors, I list some of the people that recently passed away this week so that you are not have the same embarrassment I did of sending out a TTM request to people, somebody that passed away. So we lost a few people in the entertainment and industry. This week, we lost Kenny Rogers, who was, of course, country music icon, and he was best known for The Gambler, a great entertainer. We lost him. He was 81. We lost Lionel Wagner, who was on the Carol Burnett Show for many years and was also co-star of Wonder Woman back in the 70s. He played Steve Trevor and Steve Trevor Jr. He was 84. And we lost astronaut Al Warden, who was on the Apollo 15 mission. He was capsule commander on the Apollo 15 mission. He did not walk on the moon, but he did certainly circle the moon. He's one of, I think, 24 people that either walked or circled the moon. He was on, again, Apollo 15 captain, and he was 88 years old as an Al Warden. I know a lot of people collect astronauts at autographs, and well, we lost Mr. Warden this week. So that was it. We didn't lose really anyone in sports, which is fine. Our condolences go out to their families. We're sorry for their loss. And for our second last segment is our return segment. And I haven't been sending any, I didn't send any TTM requests out this week out of respect to the coronavirus. Not quite sure how people are handling it, but I'm going to wait a week or two, I think. It seems like that's what most people are doing. We'll see how things fall out. It's, you know, it seems to be getting a little worse in New York, in California, and in Illinois. Here in Massachusetts, it's still progressing, so not quite sure how people are handling mail these days, and I think it's a good idea to just to kind of sit back and see how things progress. But I did get I've been getting a couple of returns, maybe one a day. So let's turn down the returns. I got a fantastic return from former Boston Red Sox catcher and captain, Mr. Jason Veritek. I had actually purchased Jason Veritek card on eBay, seeing that he was signing, and I didn't have anything that I really want him to sign. So I got his 2008 Topps card, and he signed it in nice blue Sharpie, great signature across the front. So very happy to get that. And as always, everything that I talk about today and all my podcasts, I always post on my Instagram account, which is TTMcast. It's on Instagram. You can see all the cards that I talk about. Just about every card I talk about on Instagram. So that Jason Veritek actually took about 3 weeks to come back. I got a couple of returns from my 1978 top set that I've been collecting. I got Ralph Garr from the on the Chicago White Sox card. He signed a nice blue Sharpie. And I got Bill Fahey on a Texas Ranger card. Again, he signed a nice blue Sharpie. Both these cards are from my 1978 top set, and they came back, I would say, within, I don't know, maybe a month. It took three or four weeks to come back, but I did happy to add those to my set. And I got two cards from Tony Dorsett, the Hall of Fame running back from the Dallas Cowboys. I got a 1986 tops and a 1984 tops. So he signed both of them a nice blue Sharpie with the Hall of Fame right under it, and that came back in less than 2 weeks. I understand Tony Sapp it might be a little ill, so I sent out a request to him, and he signed it fairly quickly. So I want to thank Mr. Dorsett and everyone else for signing the cards and getting cards back to me in this trying time, and we appreciate the continued support. So hopefully you guys are having just as good luck as I am. As I said, I've kind of stopped the past probably 10 days. I don't think I've sent anything out, maybe one, and we'll see how it goes. So that is all returns for this week. And for our last segment my interview segment. I had a nice interview with Mr. Bruce Landon. Bruce played five seasons in WHA as a goalie for the New England Whalers. He also was a general manager and owner and director of marketing for various minor league hockey teams in Springfield, Massachusetts, and he was instrumental in keeping Springfield hockey in Springfield, and is a member of the AHL Hall of Fame. And we talked to Bruce. He wrote a new book, The Puck Stops Here. And you can learn how you can buy a book from Bruce, and he'll send you a signed copy of it. So please enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTM Cast Hotline from his office in, his home in Western Massachusetts, is former WHA goalie for the New England Whalers and executive for various AHL hockey teams in Springfield, Mr. Bruce Landon. Bruce, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jeff. Nice to be with you today.
A pleasure to speak with you. Bruce has written a book called Bruce Landon, The Puck Stops Here, and it chronicles his path from a kid in Canada getting drafted into the NHL and all the way through WHA. It was really an interesting book, Bruce. What really inspired you to write this book?
Well, it's an interesting story. It's somewhat of a sad story, Jeff. I hadn't really planned on writing a book, and after I retired in May of 2017, I was sitting with my daughter Tammy out of my back deck, and we were having a cocktail, and she got talking to me about what I was going to do during my retirement time, and I don't know, we started telling stories. I started telling stories of my childhood, my playing days, and some management stories that she'd never heard before, and she basically said, "Dad, why don't you start writing these things down?" And I, my response was, "Well, nobody wants to read what I have to say, and I'm not a writer," but she was a writer. She was a very outstanding grant writer for Clark School for Hearing and Speech. So she said, "Why don't you just start writing things down, take 10 minutes here and there, and write stories, just what we're talking about, and I'll edit the book, and we'll see where it goes." And so I started playing with it a little bit at a time, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. I would get frustrated and call her up, and she would just say, "Stay with it. Believe me. Believe in me. This is going to work. We're going to have some fun with this." And so again, I chipped away at it, but then Tammy came down with a very rare form of cancer, and so I, at that time, she wasn't able to help with the editing, so I sort of put the book on the back shelf, if you will, and hadn't gotten very far with it, and wanted to pay all my attention to her and hoping she would get better. She went through her chemo treatments, but after one of her chemo treatments, she called me into called me up, and she asked me to promise her one thing, and I said, "What's that?" And she said, "We promised we will finish the book." And she knew she was very, very sick, and I said, "Yes, Pam, I'll finish the book." So I busted off the book and started working at it on my own time, and the rest is sort of how it all fell into place. Tammy unfortunately passed away, not getting a chance to see the book, but she knew I was working on it, and I had given her my commitment I would finish the book, which I did.
Now, I know all the proceeds from the book sales are donated to Tammy Jacobson Landon. I Can Hear You Now scholarship fund for the Clark School for the King. That's a nice thing.
Yes, that was something that came to me literally 4 o'clock, about 4 hours after Tammy had passed. I was just laying there thinking I have to do something, trying to keep her memory alive. She loved Clark School for Hearing and Speech so much, and she raised so much money for them, and it just came to me that it would make sense to start a scholarship fund in her name up there, which my wife and I did. It's a wonderful place. We've already made a sizable donation, and we have another one that will go out in another couple of weeks. So every nickel, all the money from the book sales are going to her scholarship fund in her name to help support some young family or child at Clark School whose family doesn't have the wherewithal to put them through that wonderful program up there. So I know she's looking down at us and saying she'd be proud of the fact that we're doing it. But again, I appreciate you bringing that up, Jeff. But yes, I'm not making any money. All proceeds from the book are going to the scholarship.
No, the book is Bruce Landon, the Puck Stops Here. It's available on Amazon. And,
no, let me correct you, Jeff. It's not available on Amazon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to make sure. I decided to not go the Amazon route. Again, they take a portion of the proceeds. The book is available for people who want to buy the book. Just go to my website, which is BruceLandonConsulting.com. If they go to BruceLandonConsulting.com, they can order the book through PayPal. So that's where the book is right now. Or they can reach out to me just by my email at mlandon30@gmail.com. And I ship all the books I sign and personally ship all the books out. So they're available through my website, BruceLandonConsulting.com, or just by contacting me through my email, mlandon30@gmail.com.
Now, have you had pretty good success with it? I mean, it's been out for about 6 months now?
It's done over very well. I've been very surprised, pleasantly surprised. I know my publisher was very surprised because, again, I'm not a writer, you know, and I don't pretend to be one. But the publisher, when they first came on board, they had read a couple rough drafts of some chapters, and they couldn't wait to publish it, and they've been very surprised. So the pleasantly surprised, the sales have gone well. I've been doing in the Springfield, Western Mass area, a number of book signings and special events, and really the website has helped me get the book out. I've been shipping a lot of books to people all over the country, or either hockey book collectors or fans of hockey, whether it be the NHL, NHL, or WHA. So I've been very surprised and very pleased with the sale of the book to date.
That's fantastic. Now, you coming out as a young kid out of Canada, and you got drafted by the Los Angeles Kings, and you were targeted for the NHL, and you had some disappointments in getting sent to Springfield. That probably might have been one of the turning points of your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't have thought that back when I was a 19-year-old drafted by the LA Kings. My vision then was to play in the National Hockey League with Los Angeles. And actually was supposed to a couple times, but didn't work out, mostly due to injuries. But I got sent to Springfield, and Springfield really became my adopted home. Played 3 years here in the American Hockey League as a member of the LA Kings organization. The farm club was here in Springfield. And then left them after in 1972 to join the startup WHA, which a lot of the better American League players and a lot of NHL players were jumping to, primarily just for money. But for me, it was opportunity, and I was fortunate enough to go to the New England Whalers. So I was able to maintain my home right in West Springfield, Mass., and made my commute to Boston when they were in Boston and to Hartford. So I had five great, really wonderful years with the New England Whalers and the class organization, and a lot of that stuff documented, obviously, in the book. But that was sort of my hockey career, and then left the Whalers after 5 years, returned to Springfield for one more year in the American Hockey League, but then blew out my knee in December of 1978, and just at that time said it was time to call it a career and went into the front office.
Now, I'm kind of right in your wheelhouse in terms of the Whalers. I was a 7 or 8 year old kid when the Whalers first season in 72. I grew up in north of Boston, and you couldn't get tickets to the Bruins because of Bob Uecker back then.
Right.
And my dad made me a Whalers fan. Took me to a lot of Whalers games back then in 72 season when you guys won the championship. So that was I remember those teams vividly. Do you think there's any chance of having type of reunion, team reunion? Have you had a reunion of the team at
Yes, we actually had one about 2 years ago, I guess, was it? Yeah, 2 years ago in Boston, there was a reunion of the championship team, of the 72 championship team, and it was really great because I got a chance to see, a lot of the people came in for it, guys who I hadn't seen in a while. You try to stay in touch with players, and some of them I do, some of them I don't, but I was able to see a lot of the players around the 72 team came into that reunion. So, like I said, it was all started by Howard Baldwin, and Jack Kelly showed up, and it was a wonderful time. I hope they have another one not too long down the road as we're all getting older. So.
Well, maybe we'll do a 50th one, for a 50-year reunion coming up in a couple of years. So.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Now, you became, you built your adopted home, and you he went into management with the Springfield Indians, which is the minor league team there forever. And you had a lot of trials and tribulations in terms of dealing with different personalities, different owners. And one of the things that I really enjoyed about the book is it kind of gave you an insight to what happens with the minor leagues, you know, minor league hockey and affiliations and back and forth. And it was kind of a you know, letting into your world, if you will, you know.
Yes, well, it was an opportunity for me. I went in the front office, like I said, right after retired in December of 77, actually, it was, went in the front office. And worked my way through, and then eventually became general manager of a couple back-to-back All-Star Cups, and then the president, and then the team got sold, the Springfield team got sold. And so there's stories in the book tell about how I was able to keep hockey alive in Springfield by starting a new franchise called Springfield Falcons. And we had some great years and great affiliations and great players, but we also had some really ugly years on the ice as well, and fought the attendance battle many times. But I think one of the things people that have read the book have found interesting, it's not your typical hockey statistical book. It's more of a book behind the scenes, and that's what I tried to get into in the book, Jeff, was all the stories of the various affiliation, you know, dealings and contracts, negotiations and dealing with leases and a lot of things that just go on behind the scenes in management that the average fan wouldn't be aware of. And I was able to gut it out through, you know, putting different ownership groups together and then selling it and then bringing in another ownership group and eventually selling that. And well, it was my whole goal, my passion was just to make sure hockey didn't leave Springfield. It's been here since 1936, and that was my goal, to make sure it stayed. So I'm happy to say when I did retire in May that it, the ownership was in great hands, and hockey will be here in Springfield for many years to come.
So where do you think that passion came from? Because obviously Springfield was your adopted hometown, and you've been kind of, you know, a little all over the place. You came to make Springfield your home. Where did the passion to make sure that hockey stayed in Springfield come from, you think?
Well, I just think I saw how much it meant to the people in Springfield. I mean, going back, way back when we played at the old Coliseum, in Springfield, and that's where I got my start, and then into the brand new Civic Center. But there was just a passion. The fans, you know, were so passionate about it. Their history was there. And as I became general manager, and then, you know, we won the back-to-back Calder Cups, it was amazing to have that place sold out. And you just be fed off the energy, and I realized that, you know, it meant a lot to so many people, and there were opportunities. And again, it's documented in the book, where I had a chance to sell the franchise several times to groups outside of Springfield that would have taken the team out of the city. And I had to make some bad, maybe tough business decisions, because a couple of offers to sell the franchise to move out of the city were more than the offers I was able to accept to keep the team in Springfield. So I don't know, the passion just came from being a part of the Springfield hockey scene for so many years as a player for three or four, and then staying right there when I was playing for the Whalers, and then just getting to know so many people and how much it meant to them. So it just became sort of my what I wanted to do is just make sure that team was there to stay.
Now, minor league hockey, thanks to Slapshot and you know, in the 70s, I had this being kind of rough and tumble, and from what I remember, it really was. And you kind of involved in one of the most famous brawls in minor league hockey history, and it kind of came back to hockey years later. And you tell us during the book, you want to kind of elaborate a little on that?
Well, it was a famous brawl between Springfield Kings and the Rochester Americans at the old Coliseum, and it was in 1971, and Red Armstrong for Rochester and Dunk Russo for Springfield got into a pretty good fight on the ice. And at that time, in the old Coliseum in West Springfield, both teams just came over and sat, both players sat in the same penalty box, and with a police officer in between them. Well, they exchanged words, and the two players started going at it, and the one police officer grabbed the hold of our player, Dunk Russo, which allowed Red Armstrong to just pound away on him. Peter Demers, who for a long time trainer of the National Hockey League LA Kings, was our trainer at the time. He was just getting started in the business. He jumped in to try and help our player, and all hell broke loose. And then I was not playing. I was on the bench in equipment. And Peter and I were roommates at the time, so I come off the bench to try and help Peter. And well, as soon as I did that, then all the West Springfield police swarmed around us, and it was bedlam. And they dragged me off down into the corridor, and I punched a police officer, ripped his jersey, and I was just coming off surgery of a shoulder injury. So we got arrested. Peter and I got arrested, taken away in handcuffs, and eventually we were able to get it thrown out thanks to a great lawyer I had, who also became my boss, and George Leary. But I think I cover it pretty good in the book, and years later, about how it was getting a haircut, and didn't know that the guy next to me was the guy that was the police officer that I had actually punched. And so it was a pretty interesting story, but it wasn't fun at the time, because my family back home in Canada had seen headlines in the Springfield paper on the front page that I had been arrested. So so it was, but we were able to get, and at that time I was wanting to get my green card to live in the States, and didn't think I was going to get it. And they kept, my lawyer kept waiting and waiting till the right judge came along, and finally he was able to dismiss the charges. And I got fined a small fine, and I had to pay for the police officer's uniform that I had ripped. So it's a pretty good story. It's well documented in the book, but it does go down. And Springfield history certainly is one of the bigger riots or brawls they've ever had here.
Now, I just want to show you what a small world we live in that I went to UMass Amherst, and one of my best friends and somebody that I talk to constantly now is Peter Demers' nephew, Chris.
No kidding. Isn't that funny?
So
oh, my goodness.
Chris would always brag about his uncle Peter, and Chris took us into the practice one day, and I got to get meet Peter and get Wayne Gretzky's autograph and Marty Mitchell's autograph, and it's just kind of a small world how, you know, you and I never met, we never got connected, and, you know, we know some of the same people, so.
Yeah, Pete's a wonderful guy. I see him once a year. We have a reunion here in Springfield. He comes in every year, and he looks great. He's doing really well in his retirement years, and he was a lot of fun to be around.
Well, I wouldn't know Peter. Peter wouldn't know me, but as I said, I'm really good friends with his nephew, Chris. So
that's fine.
I always used to hear stories of Peter and my uncle Peter and the King, and what he was doing with the King. So
right. Yeah.
Now, you know, you obviously became synonymous with hockey. In Springfield, you ended up being your member of the AHL Hall of Fame, which must have been a great honor for you.
Yes.
And you're a member of the Massachusetts Hall of Fame and the Springfield Hall of Fame. You just got into your local Hall of Fame in Canada, correct? Your hometown?
That's correct, yes. Kingston, Ontario's Hall of Fame, right? Yeah.
But the two things that I'm most envious of you are that you have a bobblehead.
Yes, I do. It looks a little bit more like Lex Luthor, I think, but that's what people say anyway, so.
And you have a street named after you, the Bruce Landon Street.
Yeah, that was
Landon Way. So that must have been something.
Yeah, that was special. That was a surprise. I didn't know about it when I was getting close to retiring. There was a petition put around the city of Springfield and signed by the mayor, and they did a big ceremony with my family and named the street in front of the Mass Mutual Center, Bruce Landon Way. So. It's humbling for sure, and I told people that I guess, you know, I was surprised because I didn't think they'd do that until after you passed away, but I'm still alive, so it was nice to see that they did it. But it's very, very humbling because I never expected it, but it's nice to know that people appreciate, you know, I guess things you do, and I certainly appreciate the support that I always got from the community here in Springfield.
Well, I just a couple more questions, and I'll let you go. I don't want to keep you all day.
No problem.
You know, we had something really, cool that happened. You know, before the season got stopped, we had David Ayers, the Zamboni driver, got to play in an NHL game.
Right.
As an emergency goalie. Was that something that brought a smile to your face, or were you...
You know, people have mixed feelings on that. I read a couple of reports from, you know, people like Brian Burke and think it was the way it should happen, and I thought it was cool, you know, like that a young fellow like that, or he's 42, I guess he was, I don't know what his age was, but he was able to get an opportunity to And it's interesting that it all worked out in the way that, you know, they won the game and he became somewhat of a celebrity or a hero, if you will. You know, I'm glad it worked out that way, because it could have been horrible if it went the other way, where he couldn't stop anything and they lost the game. So, you know, everything worked in his favor. So I have mixed feelings, because I'm not sure what's best for the National Hockey League, if they shouldn't have a better policy than just, you know, basically picking someone who played a little amateur hockey out of the stands, basically. But I remember, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but years ago, it used to be have to be one of the players had to put the equipment on and go in the net, so I'm not mistaken. So somewhere along the way, it changed where they could. I mean, the idea, what, the account in Chicago a few years ago?
A couple of years ago, yeah.
Yeah, and now a Zamboni driver. So, you know, and I guess at the NHL recent board of governors meetings, they left the policy, they haven't made any changes. So you wonder if, you know, teams won't start hiring an equipment manager. In some of the, you know, minor league teams, have done that before, but if the NHL teams don't start hiring somebody that's in their front office who's also a pretty good goaltender in his own right, just in case of an emergency, you know. So
yep.
I've been, you know, mixed feelings on it, but it was great to see. I thought it was good for hockey at the time.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really good. Oh, I know, you know, we're a collectible show and an autograph show, and I'd like to talk a little about that if we can. Do you have much stuff from when you know your playing days in terms of collectibles and, you know, shirts or masks?
No, I donated my mask, which was made by Ernie Higgins in Boston, who also made Jerry Cheever's mask. I donated my mask to a collector here in Springfield, who collects everything, and he's a friend, and I just said, you know what, let it go somewhere where somebody can use it. I gave both of my Calder Cup rings, back-to-back Calder Cup rings from the American Hockey League. I gave one to my grandson and one to my granddaughter, and my WHA ring, unfortunately, was stolen out of a locker at the golf course, and I never did get it replaced, but I wish I could say, Jeff, I was a big collector. I would have loved to have. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've got some pictures and photos and things of that nature somewhere. And as I'm redoing my basement of my home, a lot of new pictures are going up on the wall down there. But I'm sort of a guy that sort of, you know, the past is the past. And I had a great run and a lot of fun. It's nice to look at some of the old pictures and allow my grandchildren to look at some of the old pictures. But I don't have any jerseys. I wish I did sometimes, but I just never thought of collecting many of those things. You know, I do have, like I said, a lot of photos, old programs, but nothing of any value as far as from a collector standpoint.
Okay. Now, how about, do you ever go on eBay and just type your name in and see your card, what's out there for your cards and stuff? Or?
No, not really. You know, I did have somebody called me up one day and they said they bought my hockey card on eBay and they paid, I don't know what it was at the time, $3 or something. and I said, yeah, I could have given a box of them I got up in my attic for free, you know. So I've just, again, never, I've actually never typed in my name on eBay to see if there's anything out there. I know there's hockey cards out there because a number of people, every once in a while, I mean, I was never a big name hockey player, certainly, but every once in a while I'll get in the mail somebody who is a collector will send me a card to sign and send back, which I always do, and which is nice. It's just nice to see the old hockey card and all the hair that I used to have and how light I was at one time. Yeah, so, but never myself been a big collector. And I love the people that do. Like this friend of mine here in Springfield, in West Springfield, actually, he's a big collector. Man, it's beautiful to look at all the different things he has. So, but not personally something that I did.
Now, I was up to the Mass Mutual Center for the Red Sox winter.
Right. Yeah.
That's, do they have a you know, a little Hall of Fame area for Springfield hockey?
No. Well, they don't really. They have, they have some. They have an area in the arena where they've honored people over the years, former players, Eddie Shore and Jimmy Anderson, a lot of the old time players. And you know, I'm lucky enough to have my plaque there is on the wall as well. But no real Hall of Fame per se. The AHL started a sort of a Hall of Fame through I'm not even sure. It was, I think, in Toronto at one time, and I don't know if they have one anymore or not, or have paid much. I haven't heard much about it, anyways. But here in Springfield, not really. No.
Well, that's too bad. That may be something you can champion in your days of retirement, because you know the Basketball Hall of Fame's there, and it might be a call for it.
Yeah, well, there was talk. We did talk one time about trying to find space in Springfield to do it. I was on a committee at one time to do it in the American Hockey League, because their headquarters in Springfield talked about having actually a physical location as well. So far it hasn't come to fruition.
Just one or two more questions, and then I'll let you go. I'm a marketing guy, and I know you transformed into a marketing position when you started, and as a you have to promote the hockey team as general manager.
Right.
Is there one marketing promotion that you're in, as an executive, that you really look back?
Well, there's one a lot of people in Springfield remember, and it's a very quick story. I'll keep it quick. I was director of marketing and public relations at the time. I'd just really gotten the position when I retired, and I was calling on a local restaurant here. It was a chicken restaurant, a fast food chicken restaurant. I was calling on the owner, and would then present him with an idea that became fairly very recognizable here in Springfield, and it was a chicken place, and the theme was at the Springfield Indians at the time, and it said, "The Indians get brave, you get two pieces of fried chicken and a roll." And it was announced at the game, and it was, "If the Indians win, you get two pieces of fried chicken and a roll." But our public address announcer used to do it up so well that it got the whole crowd into it. And for a number of years, for literally, I think it was about 5 straight years, that was probably one of the most recognizable marketing things that they'd ever heard in Springfield. When the Indians get brave, you get two pieces of fried chicken, and then they hold off, and then the whole crowd would say, "And the roll." So the owner of the chain of restaurants here loved it, and it went pretty well for about 4 or 5 years for him. But like a lot of those things, they die off eventually.
That was a good story.
You know, it's interesting when you say I should have put that in the book. After I finished the book and it was actually published, and now over time I start making more notes, and I start thinking of a lot of other stories and things that. But there's not going to be a sequel. Let's leave it. No sequel. It's too much work.
A lot of work to give birth to a book, but it's satisfying when it's done.
Well, I had a great editor. I'm happy to say I wrote every word of the book myself, but when my daughter, Tammy, got too sick to edit it, I had a local sports writer here for the Springfield paper chipped in and said, "Hey, he'll edit it for me." Ron Shamelis did a wonderful job. So he edited it, I wrote it, and we got it published, and it's going well, and all the proceeds are going to a great cause.
Yeah, and we're talking with Bruce Landon. Bruce wrote a book that's called The Puck Stops Here. It chronicles his days as a junior coming through Canada and drafted by the LA Kings, and his days as with the Springfield Indians and as a goalie for the New England Whalers in the fledgling days of the WHA, and also talks about his time as an owner and general manager and chief bottle washer for just about every Springfield hockey team that's been around for the last, 25, 30 years.
Nice.
And it's a fantastic read, Bruce. I really enjoyed the last 3 or 4 chapters where you talked about the characters in the game and the people that you met, and outlining your top players. Do you have a soft spot for one player or person during your time?
Well, it's interesting. In the book, and my editor picked up on this, as you go through the book, I always reference my top 5 players who I ever come across in Springfield. But I only listed 4, and I did it intentionally because I knew who the top 4 were, but the 5th could have been one of many people. So I decided to leave it at 4. But, guys like Rob Murray and Danny Briere, Manny Legacy, they were Ryan Craig later on in years, guys who I just found were consummate professionals, both on the ice and off the ice, and gave back to the community, and were just great people as much as they were good the hockey players. Danny Breer, obviously, probably the best hockey player of the bunch, went on to a great career, won the Rookie of the Year in Springfield, but was just a class individual. So a lot of, I can honestly say all my years in Springfield and in the WHA, a lot of friendships. So I stay in touch with several of the players in the WHA and guys I played with, but all good people. But in Springfield, during my days as general manager, four or five really come to mind, and there's stories about them in the book.
All right. Well, why don't you let people know where they can pick up the book?
Yes, thank you. The book, just go on to brucelandonconsulting.com, and you can go through PayPal to order the book, and I will sign and ship a book out to you. Or if it's easier, you can just contact me at N, like in Nancy. It's not Nancy, but N. Landon, L-A-N-D-O-N, the number 30, at gmail.com. And again, I will give you the information where you can send the check, and then I will sign a book and get it right out to you.
All right. To my listeners, I really recommend it. It's a fun read. The thing about when I read a book, I want to be brought into that world, and you did a great job bringing me, the reader, into the world. Primarily what I really liked was the time in the front office. And learning about that and learning about the trials and tribulations, dealing with different owners and the affiliations and the back office stuff for the NHL and the AHL. I thought that was really interesting.
Well, thanks so much, Jeff. That's very kind of you. I appreciate it.
Well, again, thank you for joining me. Is there anything we didn't talk about?
No. Great job. Covered everything. Much appreciate it.
All right. Well, again, I thank you for your time. Thank you for the book. I really enjoyed it. It's going into my personal collection and will be cherished. And, during our difficult times that we're having, please stay safe for you and your family.
You as well. Thanks very much for the take care, Jeff.
All right. Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I have been your host for the program. And if you have any feedback or comments about this show or any show, or simply wish to be a guest on a future program, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. I'd like to thank Bruce Landon for joining us today. Hopefully you enjoyed our interview as much as I did. We have another show coming up next Sunday, which will be March 29th. We'll have a wrap-up of my TTM fantasy baseball draft that we have going on tonight, and hopefully we'll get some returns and have another great interview for you. So as always, I want to thank you, the listener, for hanging on, and wishing everyone many happy returns.